Witches and mortals seldom do mix, but when mixed marriage is on the cards, insanity pursues with the classic 60s sitcom Bewitched, with your co-hosts, Vicky Ray, Rod Labby, and Keith Chandler. Witches have never been so exposed before.
Hello, welcome to the Literary License Podcast, and it's Bewitched Week, where we'll be discussing Season 1, Episodes 33 to 36, and it's the end of Season 1 of Bewitched that we'll be covering. And before we get started, let's find out who's with us. We got Jesse. Hello, Jesse Foltz. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good, too, Jesse. Yes. You sound like you're getting shy on the microphone. You haven't been with us long enough. You've been ditching us.
I know,
us
it's been
time.
A while.
You're ditching us for higher education.
I know, but yeah, over the summer, I'll be able to do the more. I'm so sad because now, like, I see the Dark Shadows episodes passing by. I'm like, oh, now we're getting into territory I won't even know what to talk about.
Yeah, you will. You can come up to snuff.
And of course, we have Vicky Ray. Hello, Vicky.
Hey, everybody.
And myself, Keith Shago, and let's find out what we've been up to since last time we spoke. Well, we spoke to Vicky last week, so Vicky, what have you been up to this week?
I don't know, not a whole lot. I mean, we went to the drag races and stuff, and no, we're talking cars, Keith. They opened a drag strip down the street, and it's fun, where you get to throw beer cans at people again. And other than that, I started watching that, what was that series you got me in? The Colony on Netflix. I'm almost to the end of season 2 in 4 days because I can't stop watching it. I hate it when you do that to me because it really is good. I go, oh my God, it's that wench from Rick's wench from The Walking Dead. And I have a hard time watching her most of the time, but she's doing the same shit in this
no,
movie. She's doing the
I
same
do
shit
too.
In this.
She's very annoying.
She's doing the same thing in this series she did to Rick in the last series. She's just the same.
Oh, geez.
She has not changed her.
She's not even Yeah, she's not really a good actress to begin, and I hate to say that, but she's not very compelling to me.
She's
like a soap opera
actress. Compelling, and she exudes slut. I don't know what it is about it. I love her. Don't get me wrong. There's all the Me Too people are going to get me now, but I'm really enjoying that. Keith told me about it, and I've been watching it. It's pretty good. And I started watching Hauntings Across America. That's pretty good too. Jesse, you probably like that one.
Where's that? Actually, I was just about
yeah,
to ask.
They got this new this one scared the shit out of me. I'm glad it's subtitled, but they got hauntings from like Spanish countries. It's already bad enough when you see like demonic things that people catch or want to kill you or everything, but it's worse in Spanish or another language. It just is. But anyway, what about you guys? I'm ADHD.
Well, what about you, Jesse?
Well, I've really just been doing school and getting the itch to like go ghost hunting over the summer. That's what I want to do. And I want to like do something outside because doing school, I'm like inside all the time with like fluorescent light bulbs because there's like one window in the entire apartment.
That would get all
Yeah, it's like always dark. I feel like a literal vampire living in the dark all the time. And then when I go outside, it's like, wow, I haven't done this in a long time. But yeah, I've been watching like, yeah, the sun, exactly. I'm like super pale. And I was just in the car the other day with my arm in the like reflection of sunlight and I got burned on that one arm. It was so ridiculous.
That's bad.
And
I did
a cemetery expo.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it?
I was doing a cemetery expo where
oh,
you
elaborate.
Learn
that sounds
how
cool.
To fix up like the you take the gravestones and if they're you know having like mold or different fungus
right,
growing
and
you just clean it up. Yeah, and then you fix the if it's tilted, you just kind of you know unearth it and then fix it and then
cool,
do whatever
That's
you have to do.
Stuff.
Yeah, so that was something I did a few weeks ago, I think. I think that was in Massachusetts.
Oh, and they got some cool cemeteries there.
The actual expo. And then I think the next day. Yeah, they really do. And there's like really old gravestones. Around here, there's also really old gravestones. And they have like a woman, a free woman of color from the early, it was, I don't know, I think somewhere between the 1700s or 1800s or something. I don't remember that, the year of that one, but they do have ones from like 1795, which I thought was cool. And just looking at the markings in the style of the, I think they call that style like a soul effigy, like the style of carving. They have like an angel in a certain style with like, it's really macabre and spooky the way that they have the etchings on the.
You can always tell who the children are, or the babies, the little lamb statue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really sad that there were so many kid deaths, like baby deaths back then. I can't imagine.
They didn't really have vaccinations or whatnot back then, I guess. So, but they had everything: typhus, cholera.
Oh, I know. I want to form like my own Scooby-Doo trio where I go like ghost hunting with people. So I want to do that.
Oh, really cool. I wish you were down here. I'm trying to get people. I haven't been ghost hunting in like eons, and I used to love doing it.
Now I know.
I just want to do it for fun instead of all that other notoriety crap, but it's a lot of fun. It really is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you get anything good? Anything scare you? Anything bite you in the ass?
No, not yet. I've heard that cemeteries are actually the least haunted places because that's where souls go to rest, and they're out haunting other places. So,
they really are. If I was
the place,
I wouldn't want to hang out in a cemetery. I mean, that's just going to remind me that I'm dead. So I'm probably going to go fuck with other people. You know, that would be me.
Yeah, they go where they feel the strongest attachment to. So when they died, they'll usually go back to the place that they had a strong connection with. So
yeah, I agree.
That's
with that.
What I heard.
That's what they do. What about you, Keith?
I actually haven't been up too much. I started watching Castlevania, the last season on Netflix, which I'm enjoying.
Ooh, is that good?
And yeah, like it's a series, which is quite good. Quite bloody and gory as well, and violent, which is always a plus for me.
Castlevania?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah, it's on Netflix.
It's an anime. A vampire?
Yeah, vampire and evils walk the earth and they're gouging their eyes out and cutting their heads off and stuff.
Oh, cool.
So that's quite good. And then besides that, not a lot. Getting, you know, season 5 together and sorting out what special episodes we'll do and stuff like that.
Which is hard to figure out.
Yeah. I'm writing up all the stuff for the website at the moment, and I'll hopefully get the website up in the next month or two, depending on how things are going here. But yeah, so just sorting that out and getting interviews sorted out for next season and all that sort of stuff. And that's about it, really. And 9 to 5, Monday through Friday crap at work. That's about it, really.
Crap.
And and the game that I got coming out is back to the 12th of October. So
I keep telling Tyler about that.
It's got over 1.6 million pre-sales now.
That's fantastic.
So it looks like it's going to be a big one. And they're also talking about a bunch of awards going. I mean, I won't be up for any awards, but the company will be. But I just wrote dialogue. It's not my story. It's not my idea. I just get commissioned to write dialogue for stuff. So, and I'm just now writing dialogue for 3 more computer games, which I've been commissioned to do. So I'm just doing that now, which will be out in 2024 and 2025. Whoa.
Oh my God, we're really looking ahead, aren't we?
Precisely.
Hopefully we'll all still be here in our chairs talking to each other across the pond.
And one good thing, we should be done with Dark Shadows by that time. So, yay.
Yeah, I know. How can anything you love so much become so tedious?
Well, we'll be finished by the end of season 5 with Dark Shadows. That'll be it for it. So,
yeah, I'm finally
the new doubling up episode.
I know. I'm getting into the part where I don't remember. It's the, the Adam and Eve story where they're going to start making women, you know, because Adam's got the 7-year itch like Spock does in Star Trek.
I feel like Rob Zombie would be all over that storyline for like one of his movies or something, except they'd be like hot bombshell bikini women with like scars all over. I want him to start working on stuff. Like I was watching a bunch of interviews and I'm like, when is that interview going to happen? And they're like, I want to interview Rob Zombie and Sherry Moon.
And he's pushing it back and pushing it back. And I don't know. So I do send out an email to him every 2 months. Oh, yeah, we'll do it.
I hope I hope it's because he's working on something, because that'll be the only reason I'm like, oh, that's okay. Is he? I hope so.
He was redoing something. They're doing something. I sent an email to Keith and Joe. Now I can't remember what
it was. Yeah, what was it? I heard about that in an interview. It was, I think it's a new horror film.
It is.
That's like a remake of an older one.
I just can't
remember. I don't remember what it was. I watched it. Yeah. I heard about it in an interview that I was watching last night.
Yeah.
Well, there's one thing we can be sure of. We know that Sherry Moon will be in it.
She will be. We know Sherry will be in it.
She's good, though. I mean, I like the work that she does.
I like her as the crazy baby.
I was sick. Baby Firefly. I was sick the other day for like a couple days or a week. And I watched on Tubi, they do have some of Rob Zombie's films, and I watched them after watching The Exorcist. I don't know why I always watch horror.
Which
when
Exorcist?
I'm sick,
that
I
one's
do.
Getting remade.
And
too.
I found out that his films are actually really good.
They're doing
remake. Oh, no. Yeah, well, seriously, you can't remake that. CGI, there's no point.
Nobody's going to be able to make do that downstairs new, crab walk any scarier than it already was. That's the only that screwed me up so bad about that movie was when she came downstairs.
See, I watched the version on Amazon Prime, and they don't have that scene in it. And
oh
it was
God,
frustrating. Like, did I miss something?
It's the director's cut you need to watch.
You need to watch the director's cut.
I don't know why they took that out. They should have that in the final, because that's genuinely terrifying. They actually lessened.
That's yeah, but
I don't know why.
When the film first came out, what happened was that people were passing out and everything, and that scene was considered too over the top for people at that time.
It was too over the top for me.
I heard about that in the theaters. People were getting sick and, you know, leaving the theater, passing out, vomiting, like all of that good stuff.
I've never felt
there was
that
a line
in
there that I thought
it,
was but... no. I mean, I felt weird about it when I was a kid. Like, it scared me, but I didn't feel that way about it. I was.
For those
there was
for
like an interesting line of dialogue where my favorite line of dialogue that there is in there is when as the possessed Reagan is talking to the priest and he's asking, why don't you let yourself out of these straps? And then the demon says, that would be a vulgar display of power or something like that. And I thought that was really
is
interesting.
Is that where he said his mother was
think
in there?
About.
Your mother's in here with us, Karis.
Yeah.
If you'd like to leave a message, I'll see that she gets it.
Why do you do this to me, Demi? Why do you do this to me, Demi?
That would be an interesting answering machine. They should have.
Oh my God, that is such a good idea. I bet you they got it on like phone apps. They always got somebody to answer your phone on phone apps. So.
Yeah, someone should look at that. Yeah.
I mean, the best this sequel that was ever done is the TV series that they did.
I still have not seen that.
I heard about that with Gina Davis
and Sharon Gless, and
I still have not seen that.
Excellent, fantastic.
I've seen parts of it years and years ago, and I was just thinking about it after I watched the movie, wondering like how far they went with the series and how popular it was, because I don't feel like
well,
that would be
the
as
heretic.
Popular.
Don't waste your life.
Yeah.
Don't waste your life on the heretic. That was awful.
The third wasn't too bad. Exorcist 3.
Yeah, I like the third one.
But the best sequel of all time for Exorcist is that TV series. I was watching it. It was freaking me out.
Really?
Yeah. And that doesn't take a lot to freak me out, but I was just like, it was so unsettling, the whole thing. Very well done.
When did that come out?
Really?
People are listening.
2018.
Really? Why have I not seen this?
So I think they only did like two seasons of it. So.
Oh, I'm gonna have to find it.
But it's very, very interesting the way they put it all together and how it all connects up and everything like that. It's probably I said there's a beats any of the films hands down. So.
Really? Well, yeah, excellent. I'll try to find that.
Well, this brings us to Bewitched, season 1, episode 33. And our first episode is A Change of Face. And Dora decides to experiment with different looks to Darren's face while he is taking a nap. As Samantha forgets to change him back, a horrified Darren sees the transformation they did to his face after he awakens. He becomes self-conscious about the way he looks. Samantha disguises herself as a sexy French sculpture, played by Marilyn Hanold, to help repair her husband's tattered ego. So, Vix, what are your thoughts of A Change of Face?
A Change of Face. I think it's for A Change of Pace. I think they were switching that out, weren't they? I kind of feel
definitely.
I feel bad for Darren in this, because not only is, I mean, he's actually caught Samantha mocking him, you know, because really they're playing tic-tac-toe with his face, you know. When you think about it, they're giving him this, a nose, giving him the mustache, giving him the flat hair and the curly hair. I mean, just totally screwing with him while he was sitting there and, you know, taking a nap. It's sort of like, you know, college, don't ever pass out, you know, somewhere college, because people will paint you.
Oh, it was like, yeah, it was like a supernatural hazing.
Yeah, it was. And you know, you kind of felt bad for him, and you know that he's going to, well, you know how, remember he was upset about age and how she was always going to stay beautiful and he was going to get old and, you know, whatever, and decrepit, I guess. But he's kind of funny, because he goes to that bar and starts talking to that guy who's played by Dick Wilson. And I think I read, this is where he makes his first of 18 appearances on Bewitched in this episode. And he's just that schmaltzy guy at the bar, you know, he's a bar fly. He doesn't really seem like he has anything going on in life other than to give bad advice and listen to Darren's woes, which is really funny. You know, he goes, my wife doesn't like my face, you know, and the bartender, he goes, well, my wife tries to change my face and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just like where guys go. I just think it's kind of funny, because I can see guys going to the bar. I've seen guys in bars complaining, you know, that they're not getting treated well at home or whatnot. But when she turns herself into Michelle, the sexy French woman, it's, why is it always the French women on Bewitched? Have you noticed it's always French women? It must have been because back
Bridget
then,
Bardot.
You know, yeah, well, yeah, Bridget Bardot, yeah. And because France was like the trendy fashion center of the world.
Well, they're also doing those evocative films. I think, weren't the French films were coming over to America, and they're the first films that actually have nudity in them as well?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so but this is supposed to be a family show. They're not supposed to allude to any of that. But I mean, you did see when she had her showing more of her shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she goes, well, that's probably a little too over the top. So she made the dress go up a little bit, which is beautiful. It was a stunning dress on the actress, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I thought there was a lot of funny stuff going on in this, but I kind of felt bad for Darren. Poor Derwood. They're making,
well, especially because they left him with like a Adolf Hitler kind of look.
I know. Well, and then Gladys, of course, comes to the door.
No, yeah, that was a weird choice.
Gladys, the Jewish next door neighbor, comes to the door and greeted by Darren in his new Nazi look.
It was kind of, wasn't
like
it?
Samantha just like.
Yeah. I didn't think of that. You just said something.
You just feel like. I feel as though Samantha just really likes the greasy kind of slick back look, like from the 1920s. I think she's in the wrong era, because it's like, I think Endora was on a better path, because she did like the curly hair, which actually didn't look bad on him. It was much better than his traditional.
Oh my God,
like,
it was hideous.
I'm just going to put a ton of product in and slick it back. Yeah, really bad. And then Samantha made it look worse than usual. So I'm like, what are you doing?
I know. Why was she making her old man? Was she really playing with him when he knew he was helpless? Was she really enjoying herself doing this? You know.
Well, I also like the fact that Darren twigs that what Samantha's doing. And this is probably the first time we actually get him twigging. So he's playing along at the bar when, you know, the French sculpture shows
Michelle
up.
Shows up. Did he know at that moment?
Yeah, he did, because he played along with it. And then, you know, when she said that, and then she thinks that she's doing it again with the secretary at the end, doesn't he? It was like,
oh, that's right, because the secretary was starting to mess with the secretary. Yeah,
I thought it was my wife.
Oh, that's right. Wife. Yeah, that's right. She was a temp. I forgot. Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. It just shows that, you know, the constructs of marriage, nothing is perfect. And let's face it, me and Scott make fun of each other all the time. So it's just the way it is.
I do have to admit, though, I think we've seen quite a bit of the back of Endora's head this time around, and I didn't realize how weird her hair basically is in the back.
Oh,
in the front it looks fantastic. Yeah, it's like she's got like a crown of like hair, and then the back of it's just really flat, isn't it? So it's like, oh, this is a bit odd.
Well, I'm sure it was one of those
weird
things.
It is weird. I know,
like the Dark Shadow Star said they had those things that fit in their hair to make them look like they had more hair, you know, back then. That's a lot
the
of
rollers
hair.
Or something, or was it something else?
Well, I mean, the
it was like a hair piece.
Like if you look at Norma Shearer and actresses in the 30s and 40s, and the reason why there was quite fluffy in the front and quite flat in the back is because they always wore a hat. So basically their hat would fit, and of course the fluffy bit in the front would have fit around the hat. That's the reason why. But Andorra is never wearing a hat, so you're kind of going, okay,
sort of thing. I love her blue eyeshadow.
And there's no hat. Yeah, there's no hat on Andorra. Like no hat that could fit back there on the very back of her head. Because that's where it is. It's not on the top or in any kind of placement where you'd find one. So
yeah, it normally fits on like the crown of the head, the back of the head sort of thing. Like a Jewish whatchamacallit? Skull cap. It's kind of fit like that. But I did find it quite funny that, no, it's not in this episode, it's next episode, so I'll mention it for the next episode. But what she says about evolution was quite funny. But
Darwinism,
when they basically sit there, she goes, you know, Darwinism, apes are derived from men, and Nora goes, wait till they find out it's actually the other way around.
But, she has the best lines. She always has the best lines.
I love.
I think this is a cute episode. I think it was. I thought it was okay. It was enjoyable. It was quite fun. I mean, we got to see Darren.
Getting upset.
Well, him getting upset had more to do with his ego and the simple fact that, oh, you don't find me attractive enough.
I'd like it if somebody was doing that to me and trying. They have supernatural powers and giving me a mustache and making my hair funky. And that's kind of invasive. And I think most people, don't you think? It's kind of like, it's invasive.
Well, yeah.
He was actually less shocked about that aspect than he simply was about her changing his looks because he didn't feel different. So I thought that was interesting that was, if you're changing my physical appearance, and that just, I don't know, weird.
I also think this is the first time we get Darren twigging about Samantha changing her form to make him feel better. We got that in this episode as well. I don't think we've seen that before.
Elaborate on that.
Which means basically he's behind the curve. Normally Samantha will do something and he's totally unaware of what Samantha's up to or anything like this. This time he knows what she's up to. When Michelle shows up, he knows that's Samantha. So
I thought it took him a while to figure it out was her. I didn't know he knew right off the bat.
I think he knew right off the bat because the thing is like, you know, I think he twigged right
away.
I thought
he found out when he heard the secretary say "c'est la vie," and then all of a sudden he's like, oh wait, was that her last night and is this her again? Because how would the secretary know about that unless she was both that lady then and the lady now?
He kisses the secretary.
He tweeted about Samantha being Michelle. But because of that, he thought the new secretary who's showing up was Samantha again, someone else.
Yeah, so, and he grabs the secretary and kisses her. It's just like, you know, oh my God, you know, I'm surprised he didn't get slapped across the face.
I was waiting for that.
A toy.
That would be a cool t-shirt, like a vintage 1950s design. A secretary is not a toy. With like a man slapping the rear end of a secretary or something.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, true story.
Well, back in the day. So
it is back in the day. Women weren't expected to. Even when I was in high school, I graduated in 83. Yes, guys, I'm that old. Keith's always telling everybody. But when I remember they used to always try to divert us to home economics and things like that. And I wanted to take leather shop and all this other crap, you know? And it's just like they always tried to main into typing classes, into shorthand classes. I hated all that shit, you know, but that's what they used to try to do up until the 80s. And it didn't happen. Like I was in college, I started noticing that things were trying to open up a little bit for us, but it was kind of, you know, shoe pegging yet back then.
They kept trying to push me into like wood shop and things like that.
Wood shop. Like,
I And the worst thing about it is, like, I have no artistic bone whatsoever. I mean, you know, as far as as far as brains and writing things and stuff like this, I'm fine with technical things. I'm fine with, as far as, like, anything that has the, with any kind of artistic flair whatsoever, totally lost on me. I just can't do it. I'm just not that way inclined.
No,
I could take a car apart and put the car back together, though. So I'll give myself credit for that. But anything else is like,
I can do some things, but I ain't that good. I could never put a car back together. I can honestly tell you that.
Well, I don't know if I could put one today back together, but back in the day before they were electronic, I could. So. Well, that brings us to episode 34, Remember the Maine. Samantha volunteers to work on the election campaign of Ed Wright, which is played by Edward Mallory, who is running for Morning Glory Circle counselor against longtime incumbent John C. Kavanaugh, played by Byron Merrow. Wright wants to expose Kavanaugh's immoral and illegal dealings in past capital works projects. When Endora's help, this is what happens. So, Jesse, what do you think of this episode?
I thought it was a cool little expansion, because, again, I do like when they continue to build the world outside of their home, right, Morning Glory Circle, and Samantha gets involved. And I think that's kind of interesting. I didn't necessarily think it was the best of these kinds of episodes, but it was still a cool episode to see her get involved. And then and Dora's Mrs. Waters, like, because she did the whole what was that called again? She made that thing flood the
pipe. The pipe gave way. Wasn't the whole thing about the guy was embezzling funds or whatever instead of putting it in the water project?
Yeah.
And I think she
whatever that
broke the water main or something. Didn't she break the water main?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. It was the water main. That's why the episode is called that. So that's what it was, I guess. But I thought that was hysterical. I mean, Endora is always funny. I was glad to see her in these string of episodes too, because I feel like she was kind of absent in the last one. So that's always fun. I do like to see her and Samantha partner on things too. It's so much fun to see them get into mischief, or, you know, even if Endora is working on something that she totally doesn't agree with, but because she cares about Samantha, she just does it. Even like she doesn't, no, wait, that's the next episode. I won't get into that one, but yeah, because it was similar in the next episode to this one, where they like partner on some things. So I thought that was cool. I like to see that. And I like Endora's always funny too. Yeah. But it was funny how Darren comes home. It's fun to see Darren come home and like wonder what the heck's going on. And he sees a whole house full of people wondering if, yeah, what, probably wondering if it's like a bunch of witches or, you know, just.
He's got a whole Trump rally in his freaking living room when he comes home, you know? It's like, what's going on?
Exactly. Oh, and the joke. I love this joke where Samantha gives the reason why they couldn't have it at one of the neighbor's house, like one of the women's houses. And she's like, oh, because her husband is coming home tired from work. Yeah. And there's not a bunch of people in his house. And then Darren gives a look like, yeah, well, you didn't think that was me.
I mean, I have to sit there and say, I also like Abner Kravitz is like, he's going to these rallies, but he's always like, he's wearing like earplugs, not listening. He's just sitting there.
He's probably listening to a game is what I thought.
Or has like a football game in his ear. I thought so too. Like I thought it, but I think that was one of the last few episodes where they did that. But I think this time it was just earphones, like noise canceling headphones or something.
Anything. He's just listening to nothing.
I thought it was funny.
But let me say, earmuffs. Earmuffs. I've never worn earmuffs that totally cancel out noise. Like you can still hear stuff. So I don't know how that would have worked.
I thought they were just like special headphones for NASCAR, and even those things you can still hear out the side. You know, and they block most of
exactly. Them. But it blocks most of the damaging to your ear. You know, your ear canal kind of sound. So, but you can still hear stuff. So I don't know what that was about, because he was totally deaf to Gladys, but I think he was just ignoring her.
Well, the whole earmuff thing seems a big thing from the television and cartoons and everything like that. Because when they, it's always like they always put like earmuffs. So put these earmuffs on so you can't hear anything. You're like,
Right.
What are you talking about? So they, but, and they do it like in old movies and stuff like yeah. that. So I don't know. I mean, it's this seems to be some kind of device that they always kind of use for like cheap comedy, I guess. But when you start thinking about it and trying to put in, you know, put in realistic sense, it's like, well, no, not really. I mean, I guess it's best that you can put your earmuffs on.
You know, people are going to show him
tuning her out.
Yeah. And you know, people are going to test things like that out to be funny in situations. And then when you do it and it doesn't work, it's like, wait, that's not that funny because it doesn't actually work that way. Even like when someone takes their hands and puts them over your ears, like you can still hear most of everything. It just cancels out, like, I guess the major sound, but you can still hear like the minor aspects around you, like echoes or something.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that Andorra tells the reporter her last name is Waters because her real name is something that he could never truly ever pronounce, apparently.
And oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
They're talking about Ed Wright and, you know, and him having the debate. And then she brings up that she was at the Lincoln Douglas debate in 1860. But, and she tells, well, what was it? Her last name. Oh, her real last name is something Darren couldn't pronounce. And presumably no other mortal. And she tells him in, what is that? Oh, yeah, the local paper in this is called the Gazette. And the title is supposed to be for the 1898 battle cry, Remember the Maine. And Ed Wright's campaign slogan is, I like Ed. And if anybody remembers, and this is even before my time, Eisenhower's slogan back in the day was, I like Ike. So they were borrowing from all kinds of politics. I guess that as far as this one goes, it was funny. But when I saw that it was about politics, it's like, oh, damn. Because aren't we just sick of politics? And it's probably detracting from a really great episode. We're just all worn out on politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. You don't even
I
know
had to sit there
on.
And say that it had a 1950s look about it as far as the politics and everything are concerned.
What's that?
So I said, I found it really
1950s
strange.
What?
Because I had a 1950s feel about it, about the way the politics
kind
were, like
did.
The women in the little sash across here and the way that they were dressed.
Or they had the hats to say, I'm a right girl.
Yeah.
I mean,
it would have been
fun. Yeah, it's true. I mean,
I would have liked seeing Sam in a cheerleader outfit because apparently they had cheerleaders for, you know.
Well, she was a very beautiful woman. I'm pretty sure everybody'd like to see, you know, Maureen in a cheerleader outfit.
Well, you just have to do the research and look it up on Google. You'll find it.
Yeah. I thought it was a cute little episode, though.
Yeah, it was cute. It's
I like Andorra raising, you know, Andorra is really a cool customer, though, when you think about it. She's just so much better at being a witch than everybody else. Don't you think? She's just got it down. Everybody else makes mistakes, and she rarely ever does. Everything is totally premeditated with that woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she holds back, and I like that self-restraint. I think it makes her really interesting.
I would hate for her to lose her temper though with you.
No shit,
you know that.
Oh yeah,
if she loses her temper with you, you know it's the point of no return. It's like you're never gonna recover from that, whatever she decides
no,
to do.
No, whatever it is. That's why, yeah, when he starts insulting her, and well, when Dick Sargent gets in there, he's really insults her later on. You know, it wasn't Dick York so much, but Dick Sargent used to all the time. He was always pushing it in the later episodes.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there are a lot of cute little things in here, like when they break into the office and, you know, and they're looking for the files and Kavanaugh. So that's quite cute. And
yeah,
you know, this does Harper. This episode does feel like an episode that we saw previously where Samantha and Andorra get together and try to solve something that's going on in the community.
Well, I like when they get together, yeah. Mother-daughter team, you know?
Yeah.
We get a lot of that with these strings of episodes. So it's kind of nice. It was like being spoiled a little bit.
Well, we get spoiled even more in episode 35, Eat at Mario's. Samantha and Andorra believe the food eat at Mario's, played by Vito Scalati, a small independent Italian restaurant, is the best Italian food they've ever eaten. Samantha believes all Mario needs is a little advertising, so Samantha, using witchcraft, decides to provide some advertising for Mario's. The problem is that Darren's new client, Linton H. Baldwin, played by Alan Hewitt, is the owner of a pizza chain looking to expand its market. He pulls his account from Darren's firm to go with Samantha's supposed agency. Samantha has to figure out a way to help Mario, yet save Darren's career by Baldwin keeping his account at McMahon and Tate. So, Vix, what are your thoughts on this one?
Perfect pizza. Is there such a thing as the perfect pizza? I thought it was kind of funny because she was trying to explain to him about his accounts. And when he gets home, he's kind of selfish. He never really asks about her day. Darren does. And she's trying to explain that she's gone and had this great lunch at Mario's and she'd really like to help this guy. Do you have any ideas, you know, what could possibly help him? Because he's just not making enough money or he's struggling and he's really worthy. And then he just keeps talking about his problems. He always does it, which I know people, God knows, we all probably hear when somebody comes home from work. What a bad day or what kind of stressful day they've had. I know I do. And it's just like, well, I guess nothing really exciting happens in my day, so Scott doesn't care. But, no, I'm kidding. But I thought that the actor, I cannot, what's his name again? He played on Gilligan's Island. He's the Italian guy. Oh, God, what's his name? That's going to make me nuts. Has anybody got the actor's name?
The one who played Mario.
Yeah.
Vito Scalati.
Oh my God, I love him because he's always showing up as like a character prop in a lot of other different shows at this time. But they kind of endanger Darren's job because the perfect pizza guy doesn't, you know, the restaurant, Mario does not want pizza on his menu. He's trying to exclude himself and have real Italian food. And this guy's got a pizza chain. I don't know if it was it Pizza a Pop of the Oven or was it Pizza Chain like CC?
I think it's like a Domino's kind of a pizza
like a
place.
Domino's kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they take out that big, well, they didn't take it out. They twinkled it into the pay, eat at Mario's, you know, that's all it says is eat at Mario's. And then they get the Skywriter. What else did they do? They had something else.
Well, the Mario one was just the newspaper, but when Samantha steps in, then all the other stuff was sort of the perfect pizza to help.
Right, but then they put the eat at Mario's in there because they took an extra page by Witchcraft and did it, and he was trying to explain to her the economics of not doing that. So she was kind of cheating, which is he's always such a God. Darren can be such a wet blanket on things, can't he?
Sometimes? Well, I think that has more to do with the simple fact that, you know, she aced him, didn't she?
So yeah,
so we're looking at Darren's Bruce ego again.
But if you've ever noticed through all these episodes and stuff,
yeah,
he always comes up with these great ideas. He always does and saves the day. Mm. So the woman is standing.
He never appreciates her effort, though. Like, even if he doesn't like the outcome, he never appreciates her effort or the fact that she even cares, because not everybody would care about, you know, things like their, like his job. Like, his job's not super interesting, and she goes out of her way to be interested, even though it's not interesting. Maybe she genuinely finds it interesting too. I mean, I don't know. She seems to find many things interesting that don't make sense to me. Like the fact that Darren, she likes the slick back look and the mustache that we talked about earlier. Like, I don't know. I don't really understand.
That must have came from one of her other centuries.
A little bit after that.
Maybe she did.
Possible,
maybe she did.
Yeah,
she might have dated Hitler in a previous, before she met Darren. You don't know.
Well, she's that old.
True.
She might have been Ava Braun.
But, you know, I thought it was clever how they did this, because in helping the perfect pizza guy after helping Mario, it doesn't detract from Mario because he doesn't have pizza. So they're advertising to pizza lovers and then advertising to people who like Italian food, not necessarily pizza. So they both get like helpful advertisements. And obviously, like, when you watch it, it doesn't detract from Mario's to help the perfect pizza guy. And I thought that was kind of clever. And it was so fun to see how they just go over the top with the advertisement, with the talking dog, the kids, which that was funny. I don't know why I found that funny, the kids both saying the same exact lines. Yeah, and the guy's just kind of like looking like he's in some kind of magical like world full of bubbles and dandelion dust, and he's just like, I like this. I really like just the fact that there's so much of my own advertisements being streamed around me. It's like this perfect, like, I don't know, it's like a dream world to him or something. He's really getting into the whole thing, and then it makes him come crawling back to McMahon and Tate. And just like that, no questions asked. And the thing is, you'd think in real life, if this was to happen, they would somehow have to, they would have to recreate that somehow in order to take credit for it. Like, how did they get away with it? They'd have to, you know, continue that. Does he just continue to ask Samantha for help with that? Or like, what? I don't understand.
Yeah, one day. So
it's
only,
like an
yeah.
It's like a huge mass organized advertisement.
For one day only.
Exactly. So that would be kind of confusing.
I have to say though, I did like, we did get a lot of Andorra, and we got Andorra's actually, we got a different side of Andorra. We got Andorra actually caring about something beyond her witch world. So she's caring about the community with Mario and wanted to take care of Mario and sort Mario out. And at the same time, when Darren, you know, Darren's going to lose the account, Samantha doesn't beg Andorra for help this time. Andorra just decides to help David or Darren in this situation. So she's like, okay, well, fine, we'll do this. Okay, that's fine. We can sort out both these people at the same time. And it was Andorra's idea to sort out, to help Darren out at the same time of helping Mario out. And I thought that was quite interesting to do that, because we normally it's Samantha, oh, mom, can you da-da-da-da-da or whatever. But this time we didn't get that. It was Andorra actually offering to help in this instance, which I thought was, that was
quite exactly.
Nice to the story as well.
Even with Darren, like I could see, because they both enjoyed Mario's pizza and she, you know, mentioned that for immortal and mortal food, and it was the best food this century, that she really liked that Italian food. And obviously wanted to help him. But the fact that she also wanted to help, like, Darren and sided with him and McMahon and Tate was like, what? This is a first. You have no reason for it aside from, like, just supporting Samantha and the fact that you're trying to make her happy as, you know, her mother. But otherwise, it's like she has no real reason, because she's never had a reason to like Darren or dislike him, really. I guess she doesn't really have a reason aside from
people
being
just
mortal.
Breathe and
so
you
I thought
just
that was
like
interesting,
them.
Too, the fact that she helped. Yeah.
I think Andorra likes Darren, not for the simple fact that he makes his wife or her daughter happy.
Even so, though she doesn't like him, I guess
passionate too.
She doesn't like the situation, but I think she's appreciative that Darren makes Samantha happy. But I also think with Andorra that there is a childlike side of her where she just likes to like shake things up a little bit and just step back and see how it works, see what happens here.
Yeah, that happens in one of these episodes pretty much,
because I mean, and plus Andorra doesn't like television, so this is her television messing around with Darren, isn't it?
So can you imagine back then people didn't watch,
you know,
TV
if they
like
were
we do. They just don't.
Well, Andorra goes, oh, what are you doing turn TV on at 10 o'clock?
Yeah, can you imagine? Oh my god, we're bad.
Oh, yeah. I think an interesting episode, like if you were to redo this series and get like really like witchy with it, it would be interesting because, you know, Bewitched sets up their witches to be immortal and to be born that way. It would be interesting if they were to like what if Andorra was to like tempt Darren into becoming a witch? Because the whole reason she doesn't like him is because he's mortal, you know.
Well,
yeah.
Samantha did once gave Darren powers, and it went to his head, didn't it?
Yeah,
whatever that we've done this.
Yeah, that's a little different. But like, what if it was Andorra that tried to pressure Darren into like becoming one of them, so that way she could like him for being that and for also being married to Samantha? It's like they don't address like the other kind of witch in the show at all. It's just the immortal kind of more whimsical idea of what a witch is, which I like that, but it would be interesting if they did that. It would be such an interesting episode to see that.
Well,
like
the next episode,
Andorra
we
trying
do
to
get
lure it. Darren into their world like that.
Well, the next episode, we find out that a little bit more about the immortals,
right?
And that basically that's what you're born into. You can't become that. This is what you're born into. Episode 36, the end of the season, called Cousin Edgar. Darren suspects Andorra of using magic to break up his marriage and ruin his reputation at work again. It is actually Samantha's distant cousin Edgar, an elf who has the power to become invisible. Edgar feels their marriage isn't the right thing for Samantha, so he goes on a campaign to make Darren's life a living hell, including embarrassing Darren in front of a potential client. Samantha convinces Cousin Edgar that Darren is the best thing that has ever happened to her. And this is where we get, to continue on from what you're saying, this is where we get Samantha basically saying that Darren can't help the way that he's born and what he's born into, the same way I can't help the way that I'm born and what I'm born into, because there's no way that either one of us can change. And Samantha says that in this episode. So obviously you can't make someone immortal, and you can't make an immortal immortal. You're born this way, and this is the way things are. There's no way to change this.
Well, couldn't you enchant somebody? Like, they did do that to Darren before. They did give him power.
They give him power, but the question basically is that what we've learned in this first season is that if they pop something into existence in the house, like the lights, we found out that those lights actually disappear from London to here, right, and then they pop them back. And as far as the power, how long do the powers last? Are they a long time? Do they last a week? Do they last an hour? Do they last a day? So we're not quite sure. If I'm, you know, an immortal witch and I give you the power to be a witch, to have the powers of a witch, how long does that power last for? Is it indefinite? So we're not quite sure about those yet, about those kind of things. But we do find out that if something is zapped to you, they're not making it out of thin air. It's actually being zapped from somewhere else.
Yeah, but Edgar, what did he play? He was in Laugh-In. What's his name?
He was in Laugh-In, yeah. Artie Johnson.
Yeah, I remember him now. He always played like the little German guy in Hogan's Heroes too and stuff. He popped up like a character, but it was kind of funny. Samantha was talking to Cousin Edgar and she goes, "Boy, you were my biggest, you know, bodyguard back in the day. And you always were there when I was in trouble." And she goes, "Come to think of it, you only show up when I'm in trouble." So you already know, though. Here we go. You can almost guess what's going to happen. He's going to disapprove of Darren and her relationship because I guess he thinks she's too good for him, or he doesn't want her married to a mortal, and Dora said, I believe.
Well, I mean, I have to question this family line. When does a family line include an elf?
That's true. I mean, I guess it was
like, no, that's what I was thinking too. I was gonna mention it if you did it.
Someone had an elf in the woods.
It's the cousin somewhere. It's not like, yeah, it would have made more sense if it was like a friend of Samantha's from like childhood. Like, that would make more sense. But when you include an elf in a family line of witches, how does it make sense? Because they've never shown anything else for Samantha, as far as family goes, being anything other than witches until now. And I feel like
Is it Clara's son, Uncle Arthur?
That would make sense. That would kind of make sense. Yeah, I feel like Edgar's kind of a precursor to like an Uncle Arthur type. I felt like they were trying to introduce more before, I don't know, they introduced him later on or something. I don't know. I think they were just experimenting a little bit, but it didn't make sense.
Is Edgar like Aunt Clara's son? Or is it?
I could see that. Like, she's supposed to be the one, son? The character.
But he's got the ears and everything. And the thing is, it's like, well, you don't know. It's a magical family who's been around for eons, millennia, whatever, apparently. So why not? I mean, they probably marry other magical beings. They're just supposed to marry mortals. You know, he might have just been that cousin in the woodpile.
That's,
you know,
true.
Somebody
like,
married a fairy or an elf, and this is what happened.
If someone did that, that would make sense in that case. But I guess the reason why it might not is because I assume that they're really strict about their bloodline. You know, they make a big deal about Samantha marrying a mortal and, you know, their witchy bloodline. So I don't know. If they're another magical being, I wonder how strict they are on that. If you were to get technical.
Or maybe because Uncle Edgar is quite small in stature, that maybe that you're born a witch, but if you're a midget, you're an elf.
Possibly. Oh. But he wasn't that short.
What?
I found it kind of weird. I find it kind of weird that he acted like a little child. I mean, he kind of looks like that too, but he's obviously older. It made me like tilt my head a little bit and question it because it was a little weird for me. I couldn't quite make heads or tails of it. I didn't really like the character. They didn't really expand or elaborate on him very much throughout the course of the episode either. He just kind of came in a couple times, didn't say anything, didn't have any dialogue, and you were just supposed to assume that he was messing with Darren because they said that, but you don't really see him understand his motives because the motives are only explained and assumed by Samantha and Dora. And that's kind of it. He's kind of like an invisible character the rest of the time. So it's, I don't know. I found it to be like a dead of the, like the most of this line, it's the dead episode. Just because it felt kind of out of left field for me. And it didn't really feel canon to the rest of like the witchy world that Samantha lives in. It just feels very outside of everything. So of, I had a hard time.
Like the Christmas episode. Like it's kind of random. Episode.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, oh, let's, you know, I mean, I can understand that this, if it was a leprechaun, it was St. Patrick's Day or something. But, and another thing is like, we've already seen elves in this show anyway, because when they go to the North Pole, an elf opens the door, doesn't it, to them? And the elf was like a child thing. Like, well, not a child thing, but a child playing it, an elf. Here it's kind of like we got like,
yeah,
we kind of got like an adult playing an elf who's not, didn't look like the elves that were in North Pole. So you're kind of thinking, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Here? So it's a bit, well, it's a bit, I mean, bizarre.
Like
a, we all have relatives, though, sometimes, don't you say, this is my cousin or this is kind of like my sister, you know, because they're just relevant to your life. You mean it could be something like that. But I mean, this is Hollywood kind of stuff. So you're not supposed to question it, Jesse.
Oh, I kind of questioned it. I was like, how do you get an elf in your family tree?
I
thought of it. Unless you're making cookies like Keebler elves.
Like Keebler elves, yeah.
And they never explain it, though. I think that's the thing, is that when you don't explain something that's totally out of left field, it just remains out of left field. And that's the thing with this character, is that he literally just appears and then disappears the same way. And you don't really get any background aside from what Samantha mentions. And that's also very brief. Yeah. So, and he never comes back. He never comes back.
No, and it's a bit like trying to explain what Snap, Crackle, and Pop is on Rice Krispies. What are they? Are they elves or what are they? No one knows.
They're kind of like, okay. I think
he comes from Willy Wonka's factory.
Snap, Crackle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a cute episode, but I have to sit there and say, for a season closer,
Well, it does have the oomph at the end for the season closer. She tells Darren that she's going to have a baby. And you can tell, I did dig up a little research on that one, because the scene in the dialogue when Samantha and Dora disappear, some of that was stock footage that they had from witch or wife, because she was obviously pregnant. And it looked like, you know, I was looking and I just never noticed when I was a young girl watching these that she was getting really thick around the middle, and they had her in all these beautiful, you know, like the big green outfit she was supposed to go out in the other episode. But she was always covered and being shown from behind. And it took me a while to figure that out. But she, you know, but like when she did the last episode, this gives you any idea how much time's going by. It was the Italian episode where she was already 3 months pregnant, and I didn't know that. So did a little digging, a little trivia there, people.
Yeah, it was an interesting episode. It was cute, and then he helps Darren out by making the other guy look like an idiot. So
yeah, there's that.
Yeah, I mean it is what it is, sort of thing. It's just kind of like, I don't know. I guess I was I guess
random, because
we're so used to like big season finales to a season or some big episode to finish a season off. Right. I guess that's probably, you know, I'm getting used to that and like kind of watching this, kind of like it just felt like you're like in the middle of a season. Felt like a middle
it
of a season.
It kind of does give you that sensation. I agree. It wasn't like a big,
it was like a filler episode. It felt like a filler.
Kind of, yeah. What? How long was the seasons going between? Was it like for like it is now, like from February, March, April to September, October? Or was they doing?
I think they ran through the summer, because at the end of the day, these episodes. This is 36 episodes per season, so that means 36 weeks.
Okay, I was wondering, because I was trying to.
Where now they do? Now they only do 20, 21, 22 episodes a season.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. 24 at a push.
The biggest Netflix is 24, 22.
And that's normally what, September to May, isn't it? And then reruns start. This means that this probably ran until July. And then 6 weeks off, and then back again in September for the new season.
That would explain the time. Yeah, okay.
And another thing I realized is that when they were filming these, the days that they filmed this, like this was filmed April 8th, this episode. The previous episode was April 1st.
Yeah.
And then the Remember the Maine was February 1st. Right. And then Change of Face was filmed on March 25th. So it's like,
yeah.
So they weren't. So what when they were showing them, they weren't even showing them in chronological order. They're
no.
just they're just filming them, and then I don't know. Close your eyes and let them go. I don't know. It just seems to be an overrun.
Well, they had to write it.
It felt like that.
I think they just had to write in the pregnancy.
Yeah, I think I mean, they do write that. And season two is going to be a big part of it. Is going to be
right.
The pregnancy and the baby and stuff that's coming. So, which we'll be into next month. But yeah, I mean, it is okay.
Yeah,
I think it's cute.
I think season two and season three do get really good.
Do you know that Bewitched received no Emmy nominations or awards for their first season because Rod Serling's redesign of the awards and the system, which was dropped the following year. And their ratings, they rated number two for the 1964-1965 season, but they were bested only by Gunsmoke that came in number one. I would have definitely not watched. Well, I like Gunsmoke, but I would definitely watch Bewitched before I'd watch Gunsmoke.
Yeah, but Gunsmoke was number one all the way through. It was like one of the longest running TV shows, and it was like the number one for, like, I remember, like, through all my childhood. I wasn't a Gunsmoke fan. I'm not a Western fan anyway.
I didn't know Rod Serling redesigned the awards, though.
Well, he's coming off the back of Twilight Zone, isn't he? So kind of wondering if they...
Yeah, I didn't realize that either, but...
Picture an award like no other. He now entered the
I could hear him. I could hear him.
You now entered the Emmy Awards.
Yeah, I love Twilight Zone. Oh, yeah, that reminds me of the episode with Elizabeth Montgomery. Wasn't Dick York also in a Twilight Zone episode? I mean, I feel like he had to be, just because that was
I think she's done. Yeah, I think she's done Twilight Zone. I think Dick York did as well.
Yeah, she was in this one that was... She was in a kind of Adam and Eve themed one, but it was like post-Vietnam War or something. And it's some kind of war that they were after. And there was one man and one woman alive, and they were both silent. I don't think there was any dialogue in the film, but it was such a fascinating episode. And she doesn't have to say anything to convey like emotion or anything. Like, she's a really good actress, and I can't imagine a different actress playing Samantha just because of that. Oh, she's like the emotional support of each episode, I think.
Well, I guess that will bring us to who's your favorite character and your least favorite character of these four episodes. Starting with Jesse.
That's easy. Edgar and the Edgar episode. I do not like that character. I thought he was kind of made no sense. And he was kind of creepy because he seemed like he was acting like a little child, but he was clearly a grown adult man. And even if he was an elf, like, why act like that?
Because he's
Elves don't do that. Yeah, but like little ones that like the brownies that live in tiny little mouse holes would do that. But he's clearly not that kind of elf. He doesn't live in the brick and mortar of a person's home. No, he doesn't live in the brick and mortar of a person's home and like take supplies and then, expect the people not to, come back to him. I don't know, whatever. But I just didn't like him. It was the least interesting episode to me, and it just didn't match the tone of the rest of the episodes of this right. block that we watched. So I don't know. I didn't really like it, and I didn't like him.
Mm-hmm. What about your favorite character?
I'm just going to say Andora, because it was nice to see her again after a long time of her not really being in the string of episodes that we've been watching. So it was nice to see her interact with Samantha and kind of be more friendly to Darren. Because, at some point, the whole war between Darren and Andora gets a little old because it's like you can only take it so far. It's like at some point, you got to mellow it out because they're not going to be at war forever unless something happens. Unless Darren does something to piss her off or vice versa. So I did like that. So I do appreciate Andora showing a different side of herself too. So she's probably my favorite character.
And what about yourself, Vix? Who's your favorite and least favorite character?
I'd have to say in this one, my favorite episode was probably when they
were...
Huh?
Character, not episode.
Oh, character. I thought we were talking episode. Okay. I'd have to say my favorite character is probably going to have to be, I would say, Darren in this instance, just because they mess with him a lot more in these episodes than they normally do. And I mean, when he gets replaced by Sergeant, I always thought that Dick York always had a better fit for some reason than Sergeant for some reason, because he just seems like, well, his hair always comes out of place and everything, you know, and whatnot. And I kind of like how in the end he's really excited. He finds out that Samantha, you know, at the end of these episodes, that Samantha's going to have a baby. And, you know, and it really kind of humanizes him more, because it's like, oh, wow, a baby. Because, you know, I mean, they're supposedly on their first year anniversary. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right. They've been married a year. So I guess it's time to include a child, you know, in the show probably, and add whatever drama comes with a little witch or warlock. But I thought that I really liked him in that. And I'd have to say my least favorite character were the two politicians, because I'm so burnt out on politics. This just happened to come across during a really messed up political few years. But I mean, it just goes right back to it. You know, somebody's lying and somebody's supposedly telling the truth. And it's the same thing. It never changes from decade to decade to decade. You know, whether it was the Lincoln Douglas debate or the Ed Wright debate.
It's so true.
It's all the same. You're always going to have crooks and everything else. And it just reminds me of the, you know, the shit show that goes on. And I guess that's why it wasn't my favorite episode, because it really, I guess it's just like, God, enough of politics. Don't put politics in my favorite shows.
My favorite character, I had to sit there and say I'm going to go for Andorra on this time around, because she always are probably the four most mundane episodes that we've seen in any of the blocks
right,
that we've covered.
I agree.
And I think that she kind of lifted them up, and without her they could have been really dire. So she saved these episodes.
She did bring the class and the comedy.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as least favorite, it has to be Linton H. Baldwin from Eat at Mario's is the perfect pizza guy. I mean, you know, if you're going to have someone who's, well, he's abrasive, he's ugly, he's got the weirdest looking face. He looks like a, you know, forceps birth baby. You know, that's kind of, yeah, just a weird shaped head. And I'm just going to get over him. But, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, there's just nothing really likable. He's just very cardboardy. And, you know, it's almost like, it wasn't well developed. It's just kind of like he's there, and there's, you know, it's about this perfect pizza, and then he kind of gets, you know, and then he becomes happy at the end. You're like, why is this asshole be giving happiness at the end of an episode, because he's a horrible person?
I know, because he is a jerk. He really is.
Yeah, and he should have been hit by a car at the end of the episode
easily
or something, you know. But
yeah,
you know,
it was just to save face for Darren.
Yeah, so, you know, he wins a bit, you know, basically. And, you know, I guess the lesson learned that if you're an asshole, you'll get everything you want, and no
squeaky wheel gets the grease. Always.
Yeah, it kind of felt that way a little bit, but. So now we need to cut to our favorite episode and our least favorite episode, and we'll start with you, Vix. What's your favorite episode?
I'm
so
ahead
favorite
of myself
episode?
Now. My least favorite episode, well, you know, it goes with the politicians probably, because I just, like I said, it was a cute episode. You know, I'm sure that, well, back, I don't know if things were much any more tamer. I guess we didn't have social media back then when we were electing city council to president, you know, so things were probably a little more tamer. So I probably shouldn't, judging from the situation and the time and era in which it was filmed. But the guy that played Ed Wright, but the other guy was very abrasive, I thought. And he just, you know, I just found him, you know, everybody knows he's a bad guy, but you just got to be able to prove he's a bad guy kind of thing. And I just thought, it just like I said, I'm kind of beat on politics. And that's the only reason I really didn't enjoy this one. And it would be a second coming up with Mario, and actually with the abrasive, you know, guy that wants his ad campaign to be about his perfect pizza, because there is no such thing as the perfect pizza. I have not found it yet, but when I do, you guys will know. And my favorite episode, I would say, is when Samantha tells Darren she's pregnant. I thought that was just really sweet.
Mm. Yeah. Gave you something to look forward to for, I guess, next season. So.
Yeah, because you know that there's going to be more antics. And nothing, it's sort of like, you know, you remember when Jeannie marries Major Nelson, and he's always dreaming about having, you know, they might have kids, and the baby's going to be a little genie. You know, it just comes around with all that stuff. I mean, I get a kick out of this era because comedy was so much simpler back then. And this is kind of endearing because he really does look like he's all excited about having a baby, and it's probably going to make things so much more worth it, because Samantha has to ask herself, this poor guy, he's probably asking himself, is she really worth this? I mean, all the hell they put him through, you know, is any human being or any witch worth this? But I like the warm, fuzzy feeling at the end of that one.
And what about yourself, Jess?
Well, as far as my favorite episode, actually,
do you have one?
Remind me. There's the politics one, the Edgar one, the water main. Wait, the water main one was the politician one,
right?
What was the first one that we did? The face one.
It was the French lady.
Yeah, the rearranging of Darren's face.
I liked that one personally.
I'm trying to think.
Edgar, we know you didn't like that one.
See, I hated that one. So I'm trying to find my favorite episode. See, it's hard because I didn't really
just pick the one you like.
Any one of these episodes, but I'll go with the first one, I guess. That one was funny. It was interesting.
In all honesty, I didn't think this was the strongest block we've seen in a long time. Right?
I think we agree on that.
It wasn't.
Yeah, I think we agree on that. It's really not that strong, so it's hard to pick.
Yeah, no. It is a hard one.
I think they get better in the next two seasons. For sure. They have some of my favorite episodes on them, aside from like the early first season.
Right,
so.
Right. It's not like we're going to be like Who Shot JR towards the end, you know? It is kind of mild-mannered finale.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as my favorite episode, I'm going to say Eat at Mario's, even though it had the worst actor in it, but I quite like Endora working with Samantha. I like the little Italian guy. I thought there was a bit of warmth and niceness. And I love the end of it when they go to the restaurant at the end. And it's the three of them going out to dinner together. And I thought that was quite a nice see Darren and Dora and Samantha go out to dinner together. So and I quite like that. But out of these four episodes, I think so far they're probably like some of the weakest are just kind of like some of the most unforgettable.
Yeah.
And my least favorite.
You mean the most forgettable?
Yeah. Just there's nothing about them that actually made me feel warm and fuzzy. They had bits and pieces that I liked, but it's like something that kept me like, I can't wait for the next one. Can't wait for the next one.
They weren't the strongest episode so far.
And you know, if you got, you know, basically, if it wasn't for Endora, if it wasn't for Endora, I just probably these episodes would be even more robust, and she kind of like saves it. Now, as far as my least favorite, I'm going to go with Cousin Edgar, because it's kind of like we kind of been down this road before, because we did have, you know, when he thought the Siamese cat was Samantha and then falling over himself. And it just seemed like there just seemed to be a lot of ideas that they were
all
recycling.
Episodes that were done better.
Yeah, and there's a lot of recycling going on here. And it almost makes you wonder, it's like, why do they do so many episodes in the first season? Maybe if they cut it back and then they or something like this. It's almost like, okay, we got to do 34 episodes. And even like when you find out what when the filming is done and when they actually put these out, so obviously they were unsure about them because they put them out at the end. These weren't the last episodes done. These are like episodes like in the middle, and we'll put these at the end because by that time people are probably celebrating Memorial Day or something, and maybe not many people are going to watch it or whatever. What we'll do is before we wrap up, what we'll do is talk about, since this is the end of season one of Bewitched, what your final thoughts of season one are. So starting with you, Jesse, looking at season one of Bewitched, what is your final views of season one?
I think for me, like, this is one of my favorite seasons just because of the nostalgic factor. You know, it has like a really, really strong beginning. So even if it doesn't have like the strongest end, it's still always going to be one of my favorite seasons. And like I said, like season one, two, and three are probably my favorite seasons of Bewitched. Just because there's so many interesting ideas and characters that you get to see. And I think in the first season, they really just established like the home life, the marriage of Samantha and Darren, and then how they interact with Samantha's family, Darren's family. It feels like they're genuinely reflecting married life, like in its earliest stages, because they do work a lot with issues with the marriage, issues with work. These are the places in the sets that we constantly see over and over again within each episode. And then Darren struggling to get along with and Dora, Samantha having to work around Aunt Clara, and then Darren's family and having to combine these two different worlds. So I do feel like it's both metaphorically, but then also directly of reflecting like new beginning married life. So I think it's kind of cool that they do that, and how Samantha's witchcraft is kind of like a metaphor for the actual issues you would deal with in real life, I guess, if that makes any sense.
And what about yourself, Fix?
Well, this seems like it's a case study. The first episode is like case study for newlyweds, you know, where you meet all the new relatives and people are coming into your life and not coming into your life. But the kicker is that she's kind of a paranormal creature that has powers, and her whole family, you know, sits on airplanes and drinks champagne outside of the airplane. So I think it's a good setup. You know, I mean, most of the episodes in the first season I really did enjoy. Like I said, there's always going to be a weaker few. What, there was like 35, 36 episodes, and I liked most of them. But I mean, I think it's an experimental time too, and they're just trying to tap the audience and see what's going to fly and what might not fly. And then towards the end, you got, you know, I don't know, did they do sweeps back then?
I imagine they did probably at that time for renewals and, you know, if they're going to sign it up for a second season and so on and so forth.
So I imagine they had to cater to that. And it's just family life with a few glitches here and there for the most part. Cause I mean, people sometimes don't like their in-laws, you know, or outlaws or whatever some people call them. But I mean, it's typically Adora's kind of, she's a witch, but you know, and Samantha as well. And then you've got Aunt Clara and them, but they are the most humane people, you know, because they do have hearts, even though they're these people that have power. So I guess they're not even humans technically, but they're very humanitarian in a lot of their efforts, because she's a mom and Dora's wants to see her daughter happy. And let's face it, no guy is ever going to be perfect enough for, you know, your only little girl, only child kind of thing. So I mean, it's a great setup to the and precursor to everything that's coming down the pike in the other episodes. And a lot of these were strong, but some of these were a little random. Like, you know, we had, there was a couple of them that were really random. I still don't know what their purpose was, you know, but they're done. They're well-written. I know there's a couple different writers. You can tell when they change writers, kind of, sort of. Is it just me? Or do you guys notice that? But I love.
No, it's true. You definitely can tell when they change writers.
And that sometimes makes me wonder what I like and what I don't like. So I'm probably going to go back, because I forgot to look at who wrote these last few episodes, because there's always that one writer that I love the most. And when they switch him off, it's different. And I don't know why.
They had this Aunt Clara episodes are all written by the same writer. And I always found those the strongest for me.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Because whoever writes for her is really writing like kick-ass strong for Aunt Clara, because Aunt Clara's got to be like, everybody wants one, you know, after watching the show. I want an Aunt Clara.
Now, what I have to sit there and say about season one is that I think for a first season, I think it's very, very strong. And I think that there is a lot to like in this. I do think that, you know, when you're doing 34 episodes, today we do 21 episodes, and yeah, you do get it, you know, no matter what series you're watching, there are always going to be a few duds. And I have to sit there and say, there wasn't that many duds in this season, the first season.
Well, that's true. Really that's actually a good point. Yeah.
And considering that all the actors are finding their footing with their characters and stuff like this, they seem to be quite a tight knit group. And, you know, we're looking at a series that was filmed with special effects and all this other stuff. And I mean, every single episode, and learning how to stand still for those long periods of time while they're moving things in and out. And they're all putting, you know, they're all dealing with this and dealing with what the format of the show is going to be. And I think that they're all troopers, and there is this love and feeling, even amongst when they bring special guests in, there's this family community amongst characters.
I agree.
And so I think for season one, I think it's a very, very strong season. I do know that, you know, from my history of watching the show, I know that I'm not quite sure how strong the additional seasons we're going to come up to. But I do know that they start getting a bit weaker. And I know in season two, as I've been writing up for season five, we are going to get some reruns in season two where they're basically go recap season one episodes, basically, were like, you know, just like showing episodes from season one. So we're gonna get a couple of those. So there's like, okay, but that might be because maybe Elizabeth Montgomery was off having a baby. Maybe they're the reason.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
not sure.
Probably what it was, because you really couldn't use a stand-in.
No. You know? So, but I thought season one, I think, is a very strong season. I think it's one. I think for a first season of any series, I think it's one of the strongest sort of thing. So, and I liked it.
I don't like this delay. It's killing me. But I was saying that I think that the first season also has a kind of maturity to it, especially early on. You know, it feels like way more, it's just much more mature somehow. I don't know if you're on, but like even with the way that in the episode where Darren has like this coworker that he brings over to like a dinner party, and he's like harassing Samantha. I don't know why that episode sticks out to me, but that episode was very interesting to me in a way episode. For some reason, just because of the way Samantha handled it and how it was a genuine struggle to get Darren to believe her about what happened.
That one that she turned the guy
like
into
something
a dog.
That he struggled to believe until he saw it for himself. Yes, the poodle. And I thought like an episode where Samantha does that, like it had a purpose and a reason for it. So it had like a very strong, like mature thing going for it. But then later on, it's like they're kind of doing it for no reason. You're struggling to understand why they're doing it at all. And it just kind of feels like I said earlier, like a filler episode. But I don't know. I like what they did with the season two. So I'm sorry for interrupting.
That's okay. Fine.
Well, that brings us to the end of the Literature License podcast, Bewitched. Next month, we'll be doing Bewitched season two, episodes 1-4. And the next episode that we'll be doing is part of our Man versus Nature, which is next week, which will be Day After from 1983, and testament about 1983, about nuclear war, which will be a fun, loving episode, and probably hopefully won't be slitting our wrists after that one. And then, of course, we'll be covering Dark Shadows. And, of course, our next on Classic Novels episode is Alice in Wonderland. Or is it? No, sorry, it's Little Women. So we'll be covering Little Women for our classic novels. So it's good night for myself, and good night, Vicky.
Good night, guys.
Good night, Jesse.
Good night, folks.
And we'll be talking to you and seeing you next week with Nature versus Man episode, The Day After from 1983 and Testament from 1983. Good night.
I've tried and tried to capture you. What more can one mere mortal do? My love potion boils and bubbles, poison darts, red poison apples, cafe acetate, non-cafel opportunity, sick breeze, Rambrunhilda, Manula Campana of St. James Eve, a dash of orange and ambergris, incontinence, Mary Mac, 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 all dressed in black. Barnabas from Joseph. Spiders can pray luck in blue. Owls will stew and brew. Incantate this magic spell. The Susie's in heaven and the steamboat's in takes Glaucus away from Scylla,
coriander, vervain, and ginger roots,
Damiana,
henbane, and Badger's foot,
incantation with magic black and silver buttons all down her